You're listening to episode 225 of Women Worldwide. When you think about your brand, do you focus on connectivity, authenticity? What about uniqueness and storytelling and even emotion? What would this do for your business? How would it create impact or even for your personal brand? I've got a guest today who has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Whether you are listening to us on iTunes or Google Play, or now you're watching us on YouTube, on our channel, we want to thank you for being so dedicated, and we appreciate you. You're letting us know that the stories that we're sharing from incredible guests, and I have another one today, that they're helping you, that you like the insights, the advice, the tips, and that it's helping you to fuel your own passion and to power up your own voice. Our goal has always been to create impact and make a difference one story at a time. All right, let's get to today's topic. It's CAUSE. CAUSE is an acronym for connection, authenticity, uniqueness, storytelling, and emotion. And what that can do for a business and for you. So on the show is joining with me, Jamie Lee Frazier. She is the co-founder of a company called Quired. It's a branding and acquisition readiness firm. And Jamie, interestingly, is also a survivor of the Bali bombings in 2002. And she's going to share that journey with us. She's also going to talk about how she and her co-founder, Sean Wells, are now working with science-driven, performance, wellness-based companies, helping them to challenge the status quo and to create powerful brands. I could go on and on about Jamie, but I think it's time for her to share her story with you. Jamie, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thanks, Deirdre. Love the introduction. Thank you.
Oh, well, it's a pleasure to be able to be chatting with you. You have a really interesting story, and I'd love to take you back. You know, I had mentioned the Bali bombings. You are a survivor. How does an experience like that shape who you are and what you actually do today?
Mm-hmm. For me, it's definitely an experience that has transformed me incredibly. I mean, you know, situations in life, the trauma that can occur, I think for humans, just out of the blue, situations, you know, that we're just not anticipating at all, especially, you know, a bombing attack and being on holiday with a friend. But for me, I was blessed that I survived physically. I didn't have harm physically, and that was a miracle on its own, because I honestly thought I was going to burn alive. There was just so many dead bodies around me, and there was no way to escape. There was fire, and I was trapped basically in the back of this building. And the one thing I think that was quite remarkable is how people want to help others survive. That was just something for me that was really profound. The men that were supporting us to get out when we did find a hole up in the roof, they were just helping people. And for me, I think a lot of us and a lot of the time don't ask for help or think we don't need help. One, that was very transformational, just that experience in how people wanted to help you survive, because you go in such a mode of, I need to survive, and sometimes we forget those around us.
Right.
But through the experience, definitely it was coming out the other side, being grateful that I'm here. But then it started, you know, playing games on the inside in my head, the fear, constantly worried that I was going to die. But then the lack of life I had inside of me when I should be feeling so alive at the same time. So it was quite a, definitely a traumatic experience.
Is it a form of PTSD?
I'm sure it probably would be labeled that way. I like to look at it that more that I'm thriving rather right. than it being in that regard. I know that so many do suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, and that's what it's classified as. But I try to look at it as, you know, post-traumatic thriving or post-traumatic growth rather
than positive.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, changing the label, because I think sometimes when we're labeled, it's naturally for the mind to fall into that state of that's what I go through versus I'm in control of this and I can make it happen in terms of how I want to live my life. It doesn't mean I'm going to have those symptoms, I'm going to be depressed, I'm going to fall into and, you know, because, I mean, we all suffer differently. We all go through things, experiences differently based on how, you know, I guess the chemical makeup in our body, but how we've been taught to survive and I think our surroundings. I mean, there's so many aspects to it, you know.
Right. And moving out of that survival mode. So experiencing mm-hmm. that and moving yourself forward so that you're not in that fight or flight. Mm-hmm. How hard was that for you?
That was definitely hard. And I still notice it many years on, you know, how my body operates, my internal wiring when I do get into situations of the fight or flight mode. But I mean, and just in everyday things. But I think for me, the one thing that after Bali happened is I took time to rest, took time for me. And for me, I took about 2 weeks of just needing time by myself, processing what happened, how I'm feeling. And I recognized, you know what, if I've gone through that, I want to do something that scares me. That's going to pull me outside my comfort zone, because I'm like, I don't want to be feeling the way I'm feeling. So I actually was a bit crazy, which I think at that time, because I was 22, but I was still, I liked being around my family. I was that, you know, local girl next door.
Right.
Kind of. And I just decided, hey, I'm going to move to London. And I'm going by myself and I can do this. And it was the scariest time because London was on high alert. And as soon as I got there, I wanted to come back home, but I broke through that, you know, I broke through it. And it definitely helped me discover myself a bit more, but I wasn't talking about it still. So I kept the experience to myself because I didn't want people to see me as broken or to take advantage of me or judge me or thinking, right. Hey, she's messed up, you know, be careful of that one, you know? So that was a big thing I had to get over.
Absolutely. And then, Jamie Lee, when you were in London, I read your background. It talked about you being an entrepreneur, different wealth management companies. How did you actually meet Sean Wells, your co-founder, so that you guys could launch Quired?
Well, through my own growth, one of the things that has always been important to me as a human, but also those I'm around, is a lot around performance. And I look at performance as like the core of who we are as humans. So that falls in many aspects, in our mindset, in terms of how we're feeling within, to, you know, financial growth, and, you know, things that we can do for our internal well, you know, it could be longevity, life longevity, just to live a better life, basically, is how I look at performance. And a thing for that for me was also working and spending time around great mentors. And I started investing in masterminds and things like that. And I actually was blessed to join Lewis Howes. So I had, established, a couple of companies at that time. And, here we are. The next thing I know, I'm in Lewis Howes' mastermind, you know, with all these elite entrepreneurs and successful people. And it freaked me out the first time I went there. And I actually had met Sean and we just, I think, connected. I was looking at his own story, you know, and for me, story is what connects us all. And I think we just hit it off in terms of, you know, intellectually, because I mean, he's a scientist, I'm not a scientist, but I think from the performance space, we really dived into to people, to living longer, how we can live better lives. And then we both have a branding and marketing and then acquisition background. And it just kind of all connected just naturally through there. And Quiet was formed. So we were referring each other clients. And then I was like, I need your help. You're the scientist. I need help because I'm working with people in supplementation. And then he's like, I need, because brainstorming with someone can be really incredible, you know. And yeah, it just, we hit it off that way and it all just worked out. So thanks to Lewis for connecting us and, you know, divine timing. But that's, yeah, kind of how that's worked.
Well, first of all, Lewis, what a brand. Because the minute you said his name, I'm like, oh. So that's really good. Talk about the laws of attraction, you and Sean. That's pretty cool. So Quired, maybe you could discuss, I know I mentioned Cause, but that's pretty powerful, that acronym in and of itself. Are companies able to embrace this? How are they doing with this?
Yeah, definitely. I think the way that Cause came about is from both, from the masterminds that I attend, the entrepreneurs that I spend time with. It's interesting. We were recognizing the things that were meaning most to all these companies, to these brands, to these personal brands, and it just was coming up more and more. And we were looking at branding, we were looking at scientific, you know, data as well. And we recognized that the all encompassing are these five words that have such meaning to a brand, whether it's a company brand, to a personal brand. And that's how we kind of formulated the basis for Quired. One from, you know, we look at the values too of the people that we work with and the companies, but then how we can use that to grow their brand, to drive growth and all that comes with it.
Is there any one part of the acronym that's more important, or is it that whether you're a company and also Women Worldwide listeners, all of you out there, that, you know, is the connection really important? Because if you don't have the connection, then maybe you're not going to get to the authenticity part. Or is it just a blend of everything that you have to use, that you have to be aware of?
No pun intended, but the connection to all the pieces are important. So, yeah, definitely. Because I think, you know, we can connect, but we may connect and not have any emotion in our connection. So that leaves that person not feeling connected. Right. And then too, with the authenticity piece, you know, you think of how you engage with someone, how you show up, or how you get the vibes of someone else. And it is all about connection, you know, and the whole piece, you know, the uniqueness. And I think that's really important as a part of our story, as a part of who we are as brands, that when we look at competition or we look at what's going on in the marketplace, we always think, you know, it comes up in terms of our mindset, in terms of our growth. How can we continue to compete with these people, or how can we stand out? And definitely the piece of that is being yourself, which is being authentic, but also you've got a unique story. There's no one is replicatable, you know, to a degree, because no one has been what you've been through, but we can connect through that story.
Right. No one has your DNA.
It is. And I think, exactly. And I think this is, again, taking all those pieces into the storytelling. You know, there's people that may be going to groups to, you know, for post-traumatic stress, for example. And a big piece of that is connecting to tell their stories. And it helps people thrive and it helps people survive, but it brings community. And that's a big piece when you're growing your brand and building a movement. So and the part is the emotion. So we can't forget that. But this is, I mean, through anything that you're doing, whether you're connecting with teams, whether you're connecting with your spouse, whether you're connecting, you know, with your children, this, the Cause principle can apply in every area of life. And, you know, the emotion part is also having that emotional intelligence to be able to all encompass that together.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because I mean, we've had a discussion before. I am all about the emotional intelligence. And I'm wondering if you've recognized any differences when it comes to that emotion part of Cause, whether it's harder for certain companies or harder for certain professionals, if it's generational. What are you feeling about the emotion piece? Because I do think that is something that's really tough in business. Businesses are strong. Businesses are supposed to attract leaders who are innovative and, you know, creative, and they have vision, but emotion.
Yes, emotion's a big one because business is quite a masculine form of energy. So, you know, whether you're male or female, it feels like when you're in a leadership role, you are coming out in that role of I'm, you know, so strong, you can't get through me, I'm going to make this happen. So I do understand that dynamic. Having one thing along the way of my journey is I wanted to study more on the mind, on communication and things like that. So I worked in and received my mastery in neurolinguistic programming. So I use that. Yeah. So I use that as part of with any clients that I work with in even in, you know, my other companies, because I do a lot of entrepreneurial development and masterminds as well, but is tapping into the story and really getting into the emotional piece. And it's actually been really profound for men. It has been so profound. And Sean was actually one of those kind of clients, and working on his brand in the beginning is sharing his deep story, but then also finding the underlying currents of why has he kept it quiet. And I think all of us have that trauma. So we always kind of need to bring those shields up and feel that if we're not vulnerable, then no one can break us, instead of using vulnerability as the strength and using the emotional piece to connect. Again, leadership, I think we do need to bring in emotion. We need to be able to connect by identifying and being able to bring people in through the emotional piece rather than using it as a fear or scaremonger tactic, or that it's we're not strong, basically. Yeah. So
great.
It's
men and women.
Oh, 100% men and women. But it's amazing the stereotype that goes straight to men in terms of the emotional piece. And I think, you know, from my experience and being out in the marketplace, it's amazing to see women rise up. But it's getting to a scary point of this, a little bit of emasculation that's taking place, and watching women power through, and the guys kind of going, I think I should just be sitting back now, because if I say or do anything, I'm going to get in trouble. So watching the dynamic and the shift in dynamic and talking about this topic a fair bit, wow.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me, Jack Myers was on Women Worldwide, I want to say maybe 2 years ago. He wrote a book called The Future of Men. And he was talking about the fact that millennials, where you have millennial women in companies who you're feeling the shift and they're finding their tribes and they're able to grow and progress very nicely. But it's the men who feel a little lost, who are sitting back, who don't necessarily have the mentors or the groups that women have. And they may not be invited to that particular group. So that's got to be a challenge. But what you said about them kind of sitting back, I could see that happening. You had mentioned the mentoring. You talked about the mastermind groups. Let's go back to relationship building in general. How are you today? Do you still, you said you have mastermind groups for yourself? Are you participating, growing your relationships? Are you online, offline? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, it's been amazing, the challenge. I mean, being in Australia and having a lot of connections here in the United States before I moved over here definitely has, it's been amazing, the online space, and then coming here and then meeting them in person. But there is nothing more powerful to me than the events that I attend. I love the masterminds. I think sometimes we see other people's success, especially when, you know, you're jumping into masterminds with people that have like hundreds and thousands of, you know, followers on Instagram or on Facebook, and you're kind of like seeing them success, their brand online everywhere. And it can be quite intimidating when you first enter the domain, but you actually realize how similar we all are. We all go through the same experiences, and the connection has just been amazing, but the stories and then how we can help each other succeed. So for me, in person has definitely is a game changer. So I always recommend, you know, whether it's to my clients, because I think a lot of people are scared to get online, to show their face and to be vulnerable and visible. But I think the events for me have been a massive game changer for sure.
That's excellent. Jamie Lee, we're just going to shift our focus for a moment over to today's sponsor, which is Rutledge Publishing. I'm not sure if you know Rutledge Publishing, but they're actually one of the largest academic publishers of textbooks and journals. And they also happen to be the publisher of my book, Answers for Modern Communicators. Yeah. And this book is over 150 questions that I've answered. And I also had some of my friends, my marketing friends, answer questions as well. So I thought it would be fun if I gave you a question from the book and have you answer it. Okay.
Sure. Bring it on.
And of course it's relative to what you do. We were talking about, you know, brands. So question number 119 is, how important is brand consistency?
I think consistency is a key component to all that we are. I think a big piece for consistency, for me, I like change. So for me, I'm a change person. But in terms of building a brand in terms of consistency, I mean, look at for yourself who has an amazing podcast. If you didn't show up to your audience and each week as you do, you wouldn't be able to keep building that tribe. So consistency is definitely key. If you're going to go into something like podcasting, if you want to build an online tribe, I mean, consistency is key. I think that's definitely a piece of our brand and growth. That's no doubt. But in terms of how you show up in who you are, I think it's also important for everyone to see different sides. So, you know, that you're allowed to be fun and energetic, you're allowed to be playful, that you're allowed to be emotional. And that's in terms of the consistency of authenticity. So I like to look at it, I like to mix things up because I get bored quite easily. I think it's my personality type. I'm ENFP. So I like to keep things exciting, but building a brand, and if you're going to enter certain markets, you definitely need that consistency and piece. I mean, you can look at company logos, you can look at you know, just branding overall in terms of packaging. There needs to be a consistency and flow, so it makes it a cohesive in terms of branding. But I feel that all those pieces too will help your tribe identify that you're for them. So yeah, the consistency piece is huge. But as I said, I like to mix it up and have fun along the way too. So
that sounds great. Thank you so much for answering the question. And thank you to Rutledge Publishing for being the publisher of my book and for also sponsoring this episode of Women Worldwide. Okay, let's dive back into our discussion. You actually just mentioned something interesting. You said that you're ENFP. Can you just share the personality business test, what you took, if there is a free resource, or how can somebody find out what their personality business type is?
Yeah, so this one is the Myers-Briggs personality test, but you can do it free online. It's called 16personalities.com. And it's really amazing when you start reading it because there's also ENFP, and then you have a letter at the end too, which is assertive, and it gives like another letter at the end that kind of describes even further the personality type. Because in ENFP, for example, it's extrovert, and as much as I can be out there, I also need my time to hide and go rest. So when you start reading them, it's really remarkable how much information you go, oh my goodness, that is so me. So yeah, 16personalities.com, can go check it out.
Fascinating. I'm an extrovert too. I think I was ENFJ if mm-hmm. I remember correctly. So, and as you read it, you're like, wow, this is me. It's so interesting. That was one of the first things that my business coach had said, oh, you have to take the personality test. So I was just curious which one you used. I think I used the 16personalities.com as well. Okay. So you said you like to change it up. You get bored easily, which kind of, that definitely begs a question. When you want to change it up, you step out of your comfort zone, right? Yep. So way back in the day, you were stepping out of your comfort zone, going to a mastermind, right? That's where you met Sean. You guys launched this awesome company together. How are you stepping out of your comfort zone today?
Ooh, definitely. For me, it's about experiences, new experiences, and really shifting the mindset. I mean, if I look back 10 years ago in terms of thinking I'm stepping outside my comfort zone, for sure, okay, I was, but I realized still how much fear I had doing what I was doing, and I didn't take leaps and bounds that I am today. So stepping outside my comfort zone, I think it's kind of like having that bucket list of things that you want to do, or it's kind of like getting that high again through the success or the milestone pieces. But like, for example, the last weekend at Lewis Howe's at the mastermind, we had an ice bath challenge, which through Wim Hof, we did the experience. And I always wanted to do it, but there was still that fear piece because I'm like, I'm going to sit in ice and I've got to be in there for like 2 minutes and I've got to be able to do it with no fear. Just get in there, sit in there, take it, breathe it, and shift it to own it.
So right. You're sitting in ice?
Oh, yeah. An ice bath.
Oh, my gosh. Do you last the 2 minutes? Or
I did. I was psyched up. I'm like, I'm doing this. I really wanted to do it. I do cold showers each morning.
Okay.
But the ice bath is a whole new challenge. Like, even the cryo, this is, like, colder than the, like, it's freezing and it's scary. You should have seen the emotion going through everyone thinking they've got to sit in this ice bath for two minutes.
I mean, is this like walking on fire where you can literally, Dr. Joe Dispenza in his book, You Are the Placebo, talks about the tribes that can walk on fire. And it's because they elevate themselves to a higher level and an energy and they're connected to the quantum field maybe. And their brains are telling them something different than what they're actually doing and should maybe be feeling because they're walking on hot coals. Is it the same thing? Is your brain telling you that you're sitting on a sunny island and you're dipping your toes in a warm ocean? What are you doing?
Yeah. It's definitely not about the ice, that's for sure. as much as you're in it, it is. It's how can I bring myself back to I'm in control? The Wim Hof method that the experience that we went through with Dr. Tricia, there's a lot of work beforehand. Breathing is a big part of it. And we say 2 minutes, but it's when you shift. So it's actually recognizing that you are in control, that you can bring your levels of whatever adrenaline, whatever you're feeling to a relaxed state. And once you're in there, like, I'm like, I could just stay here. It was fine. But it's actually, you've got to bring yourself to that place of, I'm in control. This is my body. And when you actually get out of the ice bath, you think, hey, the first thing I want to do is wrap myself up and feel warm. And then we've got to teach it, but we don't. Let me just be clear on that. It's how can I then teach my body to come back to normal temperature and look after yourself that way. But it was a most remarkable experience. I loved it. Yeah, I couldn't.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I loved it so much. So.
So Jamie Lee, I think just because we want listeners, I would not want anybody just to go jump into a bathtub of ice cubes, you know, up to their neck. You really do have to train almost for this. Isn't that something to just go run and do, but you want to train, you want to prepare because you are very much in control of your mind and your body.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you need to check out Wim Hof. There are actually, there's certified trainers. Dr. Tricia Smith, she was incredible. Just took us on an amazing experience. But we started the day before with the techniques and then the exercises, because it's about mastering the breathing and then the connecting the breath to the place of peace to get there. But yeah, I definitely recommend to check that out. But highly recommend to do it through a proper experience, because there are many pieces to it, like just trying to getting out of the ice bath. I mean, your legs are wobbly. They're taking you through the experience. It's not like just sit in there. Like, I mean, from the way that they, you know, she stares into your eyes, teaches you the techniques to bring you back. You need someone to take you on the experience for sure.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you mentioned the breathing. So I think I might know one of the answers to this question, but everybody has stress, right? Mm-hmm. So with everything that you're doing, do you have stress, and how do you handle it? What are your tips? What are your stress busters?
I definitely have stress. I mean, running, you know, multiple companies, wanting to make sure that I'm prioritizing my kids as well, you know, through all that. And just juggling life, you know. But stress, yeah. I mean, stress is real. I think definitely for me, it's having those routines in play. And, you know, sometimes the reality is I can't get to everything. Some days I can't or don't have the time to exercise because I am with the kids all day. But I find other ways to achieve what I need to achieve. So I try not to make excuses. I try to find solutions.
And not beat yourself up for not getting something done. That only makes it worse.
100%. So I'm like, okay, if I can't exercise today, is there something else that I can do? Or can I arrange for later in the week? Yeah, I think there's always finding solutions is really important. But for me, you know, breathing is absolutely one. I find that usually the stress, there are a couple of culprits. Is I'm overwhelmed because I've got a massive lot of things to do. And the other thing is not making decisions. And I find that can be quite crippling when it comes to stress. So it could be that you have to make a decision or do something that, you know, maybe a big shift in your life. So making decisions is a big one. I think getting the decisions in place. Mm-hmm. If you're not feeling good about a choice or a decision that you've got to make, you know, sometimes it is about sitting still and breathing to get that clarity and tap into that intuition. But I find if you don't make decisions, that causes more stress. The other thing is too, as I said, the overwhelm and the overload. For me, it is writing the lists out, but actually physically writing it in a book and crossing it out. So you have that connection of when you have accomplished. And I do sometimes, there's a couple of ways you can do it. I mean, there is the 5-second rule that with Mel Robbins, you know, that she talks about. And I find
she's good.
Oh, so good. And I think that's great when you've got something that you need to do, one that you don't want to do or is like quite scary and stressful. But there's a couple of different ways to do it. Sometimes I like to start on the easy things in the morning to build the momentum. But then sometimes it's like, if I don't do this now, then what's going to happen? I'm going to be more stressed out. So I'm like, I'm just going to do it. And I do that 5-second rule and just go. So, I mean, I think it works differently for everyone and depends on how stressful your day is, but the lists and writing it out. And as I said, yeah, the breathing, but then making the decisions, you got to make decisions.
Right. And with those decisions, so you mentioned, you know, the breathing, getting in tune with your own gut, and that certainly helps. Is there ever a time with those decisions where you would turn to an outer network or your inner circle and say, just need a little bit of a gut check here?
Definitely. I think, you know, having a mentor or confidant that you do talk to that knows you really well and can sometimes ask you those questions that you're not asking yourself, because sometimes we don't want to see the truth behind certain situations. And I think that's life. But yeah, definitely having someone like that is important, but I think when you start asking too many people, again, it's like you're trying to make a decision based on what everyone's feedback, and that, again, you're getting back into overload and overwhelm. Yeah. So, you know, have that one confidant, maybe two, but yeah, probably limited at that.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like when you get to too many, they're all shaped by perspectives, right? Everybody has a life where culture and what they've experienced will shape who they are. So when you ask beyond one or two people, you risk even feeling more overwhelmed. I remember the days, maybe you can relate to this, Jamie Lee, when I owned my agency and we would have a client, we'd be creating brand for them. And they would literally have every single confidant person at their company, anyone who was around them comment on the brand. And that is one way, and not trust their own gut instinct. So that can be a decision killer right there.
Right. Totally. And I think too, that piece of, I mean, I love collaboration, but when you, yes. it becomes overkill, right? And then I think it's questioning how in flow are you really? If you need to ask that many people, and it actually clicked in for me. I was listening to a podcast with Oprah, and she was talking about truth, and it was one. If you need to ask so many questions to get the answer, it means you're out of alignment. You're out of flow. And I was like, bam, okay.
Whoa.
That makes
sense. Is flow just meditation? Can you just get in? I meditate every day. So is that one way to get in flow with yourself, to always feel centered and balanced, or are there other things that maybe you're aware of too?
Yeah, 100%. I think meditation is huge. I mean, that's to get into that place and space like you talked about. But I think flow too is in the art of doing. How are you feeling when you're doing it? And I think you find that truth through the meditation, or help you get back into that place when things are feeling a little bit
off.
Yeah, like, I mean, right. But definitely in the art of doing, there is that place of flow. And I feel if it's like when you're launching or trying to build something and you're like, you're constantly feeling that fear. Sometimes, it can be our fear of success or worried about the failure. But if it's not working, why isn't it working? It's out of alignment somewhere. So how is it? Are you really on the right path? Are you really on that path of purpose? Or are you trying to do something because that's what you've been told to do? Or are you doing something because that's what everyone else is doing? Are you in sync? Are you in flow to your truth? And I think that's the piece. And meditation is a great way to dive into that, to check in with self, you know, for sure.
Sure. I'm going to take this from a guest who was on the show, but Kelly Connors, she works with people to redesign the second half of their life. And basically you just said what she's also shared, that you're shaped by everything that's happened to you, going back to your childhood and your community and your school system, so that maybe you're not in flow because it's all based on those expectations and what you think you should be doing. And it's breaking that down and really uncovering who you are and how you can just be, and it feels natural and true, as Oprah says. So that's really interesting. Do you think that, I want to talk a little bit about technology, because here we are, we're we're doing a podcast and it's audio and it's on video. We need technology, but does it ever feel like a distraction? There's so many ways to keep in touch with everybody. Do you love it? Do you hate it? Are you somewhere in the middle? How are you feeling about technology?
I love technology for this, being able to bring us together when we need to. I mean, I've got family in Australia, I've got family in Canada, and then when you've got friends all over the world when you travel. For me, I love the technology. Technology can suck when it's not working. Like, I had to download another app this morning and I'm like, of course you wanted to download right now. And then it didn't want to download at the same time. I'm like, technology, you know, but I do find, for me, I don't have notifications on my phone, because for me it is the addiction, mm-hmm. right? It's like the sugar, it's the addiction. Oh, it's sitting there. Or when you got, you know, snacks, it's like, oh.
Or you see it, something come up, a notification, and you just want to, like, what is that? Let me get one more. Yeah.
And I feel that, it is a distraction. And but I mean, I'm pro technology. I mean, the same with social media and building brands. Yes, you need to be online. But if I had a choice, in a sense of I didn't need to be online so much, I wouldn't be. But I'm not afraid anymore to take those breaks, because I think, and I know this comes in terms of consistency, but we all need that detox. We all need that fasting from social. We all need that break. Like anything, we need to reset. And I think you, again, you being in control rather than it being in control of you, for sure.
Exactly. I have this big reset coming. My husband and I are finally taking a long overdue honeymoon. We pretended to take a honeymoon when I did a keynote in Peru, and we like extended our trip and said, oh yeah, this is our honeymoon when we first got married. No. So this is actually, you know, beach, white sand, blue water, and I am going to do everything possible not to use technology for a week. So hope I can
do it. I'm excited. That sounds blissful. I was going to say, can I come? But that would be weird. But you know, it's like, it sounds amazing. So excited for you.
Well, you're not going to believe this, but we're at the question where I ask you to give advice to all of those listeners out there. Jamie Lee, maybe you can just give a little bit of parting advice so that they can bring some cause into their lives and their brands.
Yeah, I think, you know, my advice is definitely looking at cause and what it means for you. You know, are you bringing those pieces that to who you are in terms of your brand, to your relationships? And I find that this can be truly powerful to create a bigger brand, to be able to be true to who you are, to your purpose, and, you know, really tap in and trust in who you are without fear, without judgment, because this is your life and you get one chance, and just own it. No one can live your life. It is you. And just remember that you're amazing, you're incredible, and yeah, the universe has your back. So
one life, own it. The universe has your back. Excellent advice. Okay, last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you and all of your work?
Sure. JamieLeeFraser.com. And that's J-A-I-M-E, Lee, L-E-E. And Fraser is F-R-A-S-E-R.com, because I know you've got the Z happening here in the United States. But, and also at Jamie Lee Fraser on all platforms. So I'm there. I'd love to hear from you. And yeah, if there's any, if they want me to have a look and see how, you know, looking at their brand in terms of, you know, how it's being represented in terms of cause, we also have that. So you can always look and do that and show them perhaps a new way or a new light to really define their amazingness. So
awesome. Well, I hope people check you out, because I have a feeling you can really bring some awesomeness and cause to them and their brands. Thank you so much for coming on the show, for sharing your story, enlightening us about cause, and for your time. We appreciate you. Thank you, Jamie Lee.
Thanks, Deidre. You're amazing, and have an awesome day. So thank you so much.
Thank you. And I want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide every single week, for sharing your feedback, and for letting us know that you love the amazing guests like Jamie Lee who come on the show. They're sharing their stories. And you know what? Keep the feedback coming. Tweet to us, right? We're on Twitter. Tell us how you're feeling on Facebook. You can now comment on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, and also you can sign up for updates on the Women Worldwide website, which is womenworldwideshow.com. So thank you, friends. Until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thanks.